Welcome to Doc Talk. Today is episode number 28, and we are here with Mr. Tony Fantasia once again talking about finding a common language and his doctoral studies with the University of North Texas and the School of Information Science. So, Tony, today we're going to be talking about the need to create a common language between two things that don't typically speak the same language. And those two things, I'll use the word things for lack of a better term right now, but are organizational administration and organizational information technology infrastructure. So these two areas don't naturally share a common language, and it's him needing to be a conduit between those two that kind of propelled him or inspired him or helped him identify the need to go deeper in studies to better understand how to be that conduit. Anyhow, it's rather technical. He does a good job breaking it down. I do my best to ask questions, even though I do not know anything about this particular field, but I trust that you will be able to take something away from what he is sharing because, I mean, there are people out there listening, I'm sure, who have interests in similar areas. And if that's not you, maybe you'd consider sharing this podcast with someone who could benefit from this information. So, a couple notes before we get going today. I'd like to ask you to please leave a review on my Better Business Bureau site. I'd really appreciate it. All you need to do is go to allisonmarchin.com. You can find that link if you're having trouble spelling my last name especially, and the show notes, check those out. But it's allisonmarchin.com, and if you scroll to the bottom of any page on that particular site, you'll see the link to my Better Business Bureau site. I would love it if you would leave a review there so that I can know how you're enjoying the podcast, how you're enjoying the content, maybe even providing ideas for future content, offering up ideas for future guests. It would really, really, really help me, and it'll help you as a listener, and it'll help other listeners as well. If you would also leave the review on the platform wherever you listen to podcasts, that will certainly help too. And for the exact same reason. I don't know exactly how the reviews help kind of, you know, if you leave a review, I believe it helps to promote visibility of the podcast on that particular platform. So I'd really appreciate if you do that as well. Okay, so coming up, I have an idea, and you may have seen it on the Doc Talk Venturing Beyond a Master's page on Facebook, and you may have seen it in the Doctoral Collaborative, but wherever you've seen it, I have this idea, and the idea... I want to bring this thing up real quick because I want to be able to look at it while I'm talking about it. So this idea has to do with mixology. Yes, mixology. I haven't set a date yet for the event, but I'm thinking late April, May timeframe would be a good time. But essentially, what I'd like to do is or have one or two mixologists on the podcast who've earned a doctoral degree also. And I don't know if you can earn a doctoral degree in mixology, but I think it'd be kind of cool. So the whole idea is to do a Zoom call, but before the Zoom call, we have these two or three mixologists give us some simple recipes that we can use to make our own drinks. And we bring those drinks to our Zoom call and we sip and chat and we ask questions. It can be, you know, they can be anything about mixology, but also about their doctoral studies. So I think that might be kind of cool. The idea is to have like a quaint gathering so that everyone can get a question in and we keep the guests engaged. So I think that would be really fun. But if you know someone who fits the bill, please shoot me an email. Please leave me a comment on my website, that or even on one of the social media pages that we have, groups we have. That would be really useful. But I think it's a really fun idea. What do you think? All right. A couple other housekeeping notes before we move on to talk with Tony. I've mentioned this before. I've shared it. there is someone who's very close to me. Actually, it's one of my sisters. You may have seen the image that she created. So her name is Kirsten Haar, and she creates these mobile masterpieces. They're absolutely phenomenal. But what she does, and she really got creative during COVID, she's a photographer, but with the lockdowns and things, and she also moved away from her really robust client base, she got creative. And she thought, well, how can I still serve a community who's in, you know, who desires, or a community that desires photographs, like really neat portraits, without being right there with them? So what she came up with is, you take a picture, she kind of tells you how to capture the picture, like, hey, stand in a place with no shadows, take the photo at eye level. She kind of guides you with some basic and simple instructions, and you take that picture of whoever you want it to, or whatever you want it to be of. Typically, it's a person or a pet or something. You send it to her and you tell her what your idea is, and she uses her creativity, her imagination to create an amazing image. It really is a masterpiece. They are masterpieces. Great ideas for birthdays. In fact, if you have been on, or you've liked the Doc Talk Venturing Beyond a Master's Facebook page, you'll see that I shared the image that she did for me for my birthday, which was just like a week ago. And it is phenomenal. And the cool thing about it is, for younger kids, like for children, if it's a birthday, you know, a birthday image, she will put the child's age in a very conspicuous spot. Like you can see it. But for those of us who are a little older than a child, she will creatively and hide the age in the image. So yeah, go to Doc Talk Venturing Beyond a Master's on Facebook. It's actually Doc Talk : Venturing Beyond a Master's with an apostrophe S. And look at that image. First of all, like the page, and then go and look at the image that she created. It is so awesome. But anyway, you can find her at kirstenhaar.com, K-I-R-S-T-E-N, Haar, Haar.com. So I share that because this image she created has to do with podcasting, and it represents me or a portion of me. Yeah. Anyway, go check it out. So that is about all, and I thank you for listening this far, and let's get into the discussion with Tony.
Welcome to Doc Talk, where we discuss all things doctoral. Been there, done that? Then we want to hear from you. Want to be there? Want to do that? Then this is the place to be. Still trying to figure it all out? Yeah, so am I. So come on, let's do this. Let's venture beyond a master's.
So, real quick, what is your, tell us about your background, undergrad and then master's program, and then the title of what program is now helping you to sort this okay. Program out so it's more functional.
I got my bachelor's in information technology management mm-hmm. from American Military University, online courses, as I'm working in training and deploying this system in the first place. That's where I'm getting my bachelor's in IT management. Then I got my master's. I got my master's in business administration with a focus in IT management from AMU, from American Military University. Same school online while I'm defining and refining this program, or my proposal for this program. So IT management and business administration are my educational foundations.
Okay. Gotcha.
And the IT management taught me how to walk that line between organizational administration and organizational information technology infrastructure. I had to learn how to be a conduit between both functional areas that don't normally know how to communicate with each other. Hmm. Because you have one very business oriented and one very IT oriented, and they get very focused in their worlds, and they don't really share vernacular naturally.
Okay.
So I had to learn how to understand the requirements from each, the vernacular of each, and how to translate them between each other into use case statements and problem statements and courses of action. And that, I think, is what led me to where I am now, where I am taking requirements from congressional taskers, from DHA commanding general taskers, from civilian hospital taskers, and trying to develop a system, a manpower tracking system that can communicate effectively in a number of different domains, operational and functional and intellectual domains.
Wow.
Did that answer your question? I feel like it did, but I feel like I might have left the part out.
Yeah, no, I like how you explained there. You used hand gestures too. I know people. Yeah. I know people can't see that, but I was helping me, showing that
I'm Italian.
Showing two different things that you are the kind of like the bridge between, and needing to understand how both sides work. Say what those two things were again.
The operational side and the
mechanical side,
the information technology, the technical functional side.
Gotcha.
They don't naturally speak. Yeah, they don't naturally speak to each other. And then I found the same thing out with
Je suis fatigué.
Je suis fatigué. Yeah. The same thing happened when trying to bring the Army, Navy, and Air Force data together as well, because they are independent cultures. Their health systems that grew, out of each other, but they grew autonomously into what they've become over the years. And they have their own language, their own codes, their own data, their own way of structuring things, and trying to bring these three data sets together to talk and share the same information.
So this is really interesting. What you're saying is bringing to mind the first guest we had on the show was actually my dad.
Oh, cool.
Dr. Dennis Rowe. And
I remember your dad. I met your dad at USMAS.
Yes. Yeah. It's been many, many years, of course, but that's cool. Yeah. But what you're describing reminds me, and I may be using the wrong terminology here, but he's worked in support of the FAA. Like, he supported the FAA over, like, gosh, almost as long as I am old. Young, sorry.
But 27 years old.
Yeah, I know. He hasn't been at it long. No, so gosh, 38, 39 years by now. But anyway, he was working on military airspace utilization. And what I'm hearing you describe sounds a lot like what I've heard my dad talk about in the past, when you've got this antiquated system where people are using like stubby pencils, like grease pencils, to log different informations across across like the different services. Like, okay, everybody write down when you're going to be doing a mortar, like when you're going to be practicing your, shooting off your howitzers, so we know when not to fly in your airspace, that kind of thing, So it was very antiquated, everybody was doing it differently. And they were at a point, he was a part of the team, like heading up a team, going around, traveling to the different services, helping them to be able to speak the same language. Now, this is just me understanding, like explaining my understanding.
You're painting the picture very, very well.
And it sounds like what you're describing, like trying to get all these different services to speak the same language in a common way and to report everything in a common language.
Yeah. And in the tenets of information science and data science, as I understand it in my fledgling second week of this program, is that there's an underlying need for the organization of information and the utility of information. Now, information comes from data. Data is the facts about anything. Everything generates data. You, me, the lamp, my foundation, everything generates data. And that data is aggregated with other data to become information about that thing. And then information, when it is injected into the mind and processed by the mind and utilized by the mind, does it become knowledge? And that knowledge is either explicit or tacit. And that explicit knowledge is very easily defined, very easily described. You can put it on paper, draw pictures about it. It's the physical characteristics of a thing that you're describing to somebody. That's explicit knowledge. Tacit knowledge is the professional experience that you aggregate over the course of a lifetime that creates an intuition or an instinct about a thing that you can't easily describe to somebody, that you have to use tools like metaphor and imagery in order for somebody to understand the vast complex concepts that are brought together in order to relay information about a thing. And there are people like your father who have had to do that in the FAA, in their organization. There are people who are doing that across every organization. As information and knowledge become a commodity, it becomes a decision driver in so many things that we're doing now. This is known as the information and the knowledge age, because we have these tools that bring this information together. But that information is a veritable sieve, and it's a torrent. It's a torrential river. And we are witnessing this river washing over us, and we're overwhelmed by the vast amounts of information that are out there, and trying to make sense of it and trying to organize it so that it becomes useful and digestible and actionable. It's a problem that's existed for decades, but the technology hasn't been able to keep up with the demand. So even as the technology matures, there's still the underlying theory and philosophy of information and knowledge and its original data that we're still trying to categorize and coalesce into something that's meaningful and understandable. It's just, when you talk about data and knowledge and trying to get everybody talking in the same sheet of music, it's like saying, I'm going to take the entire compendium of our universe and condense it down into a nugget that you can look at, touch, and feel, and understand.
Yeah. Wow. That's heavy.
It is. I mean, it's the stuff that my brain, I love it, but I'm also very aware of how much it can take me out of scope if I don't have some kind of structure. So the program, this PhD program, is the structure that I need in order to focus those kinds of thoughts in meaningful and productive ways.
In our correspondence, I asked, were you ever unsure about, or did you ever question what you were getting yourself into? And I absolutely love, I don't know if you remember how you responded. I loved your response, and I have it in front of me so I can
go ahead and read the response. Yeah, because I have a hard time remembering what I said like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. Can you start over? No, I'm kidding.
Just rephrase it.
Right. So I love your answer to that question. So you said, I was unsure up until I got accepted to the program. That's so right. It's so true. I was unsure until I got accepted to the program. I figured if they were willing to accept me based on my research proposal and my experience, then the rest of it was crafting the final offering to their standard while learning how to use their tools and knowledge to refine the product along the way. I think that's awesome.
That's brilliant. That really is.
if you're good enough, like, just to paraphrase, if you're good enough to be accepted, and shoot, sometimes people aren't accepted to things and they are good enough, right? So let's not, I don't want to confuse that.
No slight on them. Yeah, no slight.
Right. So, but if you are good enough to be accepted to a program, then you're good enough and people believe in you to be able to make it through.
I have my insecurities. I am self-taught in a very technical and exacting profession. And I compare myself and my efforts to the people that I'm around every day. And I know that this is, in the DoD at least, it's a very young profession. Analytics is a very young kind of environment. There have been people doing analysis, you know, in little pockets individually. But as far as an organized analytics directorate and an analytics framework, it's very, very new, at least in the areas that I've been introduced to. So very insecure about what I'm doing and how it relates to what other people would do if they actually knew the context that I'm working in. But the fact is they don't. So I'm doing the best I can with what I know at the time. And if a PhD program at the University of North Texas is willing to take me in as a student and guide me and mentor me based on what I'm presenting to them now,
right,
then that is all the reassurance that I need that I belong in their program.
That's awesome.
It was a very rewarding feeling. I mean, but again, it took a couple other PhDs to convince me that I belong, that I was deserving of the opportunity to apply in the first place, that I was realistic in my goal to apply for the program, that I wasn't trying to jump the shark, I wasn't shooting too high. They convinced me that, look, there is definite need for this research. There's definite need from the DHA and the DOD for this information. And why not you? Why anybody else? Why not you?
So I'm like,
okay, I'm going to.
Good for them. Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah. I appreciated that. There was the chills down my legs thinking about it when those moments came and I accepted the fact that I was worthy in my field. I was a subject matter expert, even though I was self-taught, that my concerns and my plan were still valid and that they found the value in it. And then so did the admissions board at the UNT School of Information Science.
That's great.
So when they accepted me, it was just a matter of then, how do I rate on their performance? And it wasn't until I got my first paper graded back.
Already within the first 2 weeks, you had a paper?
I did. My first writing assignment was a one-page paper on knowledge management systems. And it was my first introductory, and here's my book, you know.
Oh, nice. Is it all tabbed out? It looks like.
Yeah, I got little tab dividers.
And yeah, yeah.
I'm highlighting and underlining key phrases. I've evolved past my two column notes now and doing things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't heard that phrase in a long time.
I know.
Was that Dr. Ignafo?
Dr. Ignafo.
Did he do? I don't know where I just pulled that from, but I was like, that sounds like Dr. Ignafo, two column notes. Yeah.
Two column notes.
Wow. Yeah.
And then Captain Bowden, my history teacher, was where I practiced and refined my two column note taking method at the academy. And it's all downhill from there, I'll say. But,
oh no. But now it's up. Now you're on the up. You've been on the
I'm on another uphill. Upward, it's the roller coaster of life.
Trajectory. Yeah. So you, Tony, I'm sorry, we're gonna have to
end here
soon. No, this is really good because it's very, I haven't talked to anybody who's doing anything like specifically like this right now and who's starting and is starting for the same reason that you're starting, just to understand what they're doing and to improve a system in their workplace to, you know, just to make things better. Haven't talked to anybody like that yet. So it's understandable that you've got a lot to share.
If you want to have this conversation again, we can be episodic. I mean,
I think we're going to need to revisit before we sign off here, because I do want to get this out in this episode. Tony is like extremely, you guys need to check out his web pages, and I will definitely share those in the show notes. I know you, Tony, talked about vetcraft.org. I first found out that Tony was like super, I knew you were into art, but I didn't know what, I mean, drawing and stuff. I think you used to draw back at the prep school.
Yeah. Maybe. Usually on people's footlockers or their notebooks. You know?
So I recall that to some extent, but when I saw what you were sharing on the West Point, was it Forum of the Arts or Arts
yeah, the
Forum?
Yeah. West Pointers
in the Arts Forum. Yeah. On social media, I was like, oh my gosh. So you guys, you have to go and check out his leather work. And do they see that at vetcraft.org or do they see that?
The best place to see it is
custom designs.
My Facebook page, the Fantasia Custom Designs business page on Facebook.
Okay. Okay. I'll put that in the show notes so people can find it. But yeah, definitely. I would like to revisit, to talk a little bit more about some questions that I have and to get some clarity for our listeners as well.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to have this conversation with you again, anytime.
Excellent. Okay, Tony. Hey, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is your host, Allison Marchine, and I'm so glad you were here. and I'm looking forward to the next time. Let's do this again.